Gotta love the internet, hey? Sometimes it's just a nice challenge. So, okay, well, welcome, everybody. I will use the chat. Most of you are on the computer. I don't see anybody in the learning event chat, so I'm just going to use the chat that's on the computer. So if you have that open, you can use that. I'd like to welcome you to our first conference call for SV 101, Find and Keep Volunteers. And I'm hosting this call from the traditional territory of the Kwanlin Dun First Nation and Tonkawashen Council. Those of you who've just struggled through or worked your way through BF 102 proposal writing and RP 102 evaluation and recreation, you'll be pleased to know that this is a lighter learning event, so it should be not quite as much work. And then our last one is fun too. So, well, maybe not fun because the last one's reporting, but it's a lot lighter as well. So these are just 2-week learning events. So there are 2 required learning activities due every Sunday or each Sunday. So you don't have one due until Sunday. So in this learning event in Find and Keep Volunteers, as shown on slide 4, if you have the presentation open, we are going to start to come to value the role of volunteers in today's society, which sounds a bit odd because I'm sure you already do that, but we're just going to dig in a little bit more deeply into that. We're going to get a bit of insight into what motivates our community recreation volunteers. And then next week in particular, we're going to look at strategies that might work for you, your organization, your community. So it's very personalized activity about keeping, finding and keeping volunteers. So before we get into our call, let's do our regular round of introductions. And I'll just tell you the order we'll start with because I see you on my screen. So I see Spider first, then Guillaume, then Stephanie, then Isabel, then Peter, and then David, and Anne hasn't joined back in yet. So, and now I see Juliana just jumped in. Welcome, Juliana. We're just getting started with introductions, and we are using the chat that's in the link on the computer, but I can also, it's just mostly for questions, so I will post them in there. So when you do your introduction, let's say your name and community, and I'm wondering if in about 30 seconds you could describe one of your own volunteer experiences, what you did as a volunteer and what you got out of it. So not to put you on the spot, Spider, I'll start with an example that gives you a couple of 30 seconds to think of your example. So one of the sort of memorable volunteer experiences that I had was during the 2012 Arctic Winter Games. And I volunteered as the venue coordinator for biathlon, which was a lot more work than I'd expected. But it was really rewarding because I was able to work with not only the athletes, but also the coaches, the officials, and all the other volunteers to make it a great experience for them. And I learned a lot about the challenges with biathlon, especially transporting firearms internationally because Russia didn't do their paperwork and had all its firearms detained at customs. So it was great to actually be able to help them sort through that, you know, with the language barriers and stuff. So for me, it was just a neat sport experience to work with a variety of different people engaged in sport. So over to you, Spider.
Good morning. My name is Spider Jones. I work at Sport North Federation in Yellowknife. By day, I'm multi-sport executive director for wrestling and athletics, but I do special project work for Sport North and work to grow physical literacy in the territory. I guess one of my more memorable experiences was in 2015 in Toronto at the Pan Am Games. I went to volunteer for the squash. And I was one of the crew that, between games and between matches, would clean the courts, wipe the glass, sweep the floors. And I remember the individual final, I think, between two top players. And I would sit in the lone seat between both teams behind the court, and wait to be called out by the referee to to go and wipe down the sweat if they happened to fall or skid or whatever they were doing, which I was doing very well at and worked very hard, long hours, the entire 6 or 8 days that I was there. And I heard the referee saying, Slaughter, and I just happened to have fallen asleep, in the final match, and I had to jump up and then go in and clean off the sweat off the guy's floor and so forth. But it was a pretty memorable experience. I had that or the choice of working the electronic scoreboard that once the point was awarded, I could hit a button and, yeah. But I thought that, I could better be made use of doing something practical and less technical. We didn't want to get the score messed up. But it was a pretty cool experience, and saw the Canadian team do very well on the team side of it. And
awesome.
I do it again.
Thanks, Spider. That's great. Thanks so much. Okay, over to you, Deanne. In 30 seconds or less, can you introduce yourself and describe one of your own volunteer experiences?
My name is Deanne. I'm from Squash, Yukon. One of my experiences as a volunteer, I volunteered as to organize the Polar Games this year, and that is the only volunteer work I did it here. It was a great experience for me to organizing the whole event, working with the 300 kids and all the coaches and lots of volunteers too. So it was great learning. Yeah. Thank you.
That's great. Thanks, Gian. That's a pretty big event. So. Quite a different clientele than what Spiders was, so thank you. Over to you, Stephanie. I know you do a lot of volunteer stuff, so maybe just pick one thing to share with us that's sort of more memorable, and let us know what it is in about 30 seconds or less.
I would say I am still with the fire department, and I find it very beneficial to everybody in the community and myself, especially when it comes to living in an isolated community, and it gives me a chance to get to know other residents when it's like that I don't normally associate with, like personally or at work, or it just gives me a chance to get to know other people, on a different level than, and it's open to all age groups. So it's absolutely fantastic. I really like it. It really helps.
That's great. Thanks, Stephanie. And that it is a great deal to help your community in an emergency situation. So thank you for sharing that. I know you do a lot of other volunteer work, too. Over to you, Isabel. In 30 seconds or less, what's a memorable volunteer experience that you had?
Hi, everyone. I'm Isabel calling from Dakota Junction in the Yukon. What I've been thinking about is my first volunteer experience when I was a teenager. My big city where I'm from in Trois-Rivières, Quebec, there is a super big festival every summer, and of course they use a lot of volunteers. But as a young person, to be given an important job and have a responsibility and be part of a huge event and a big team, and it made me feel so good. And that was the event that hooked me up and said, yeah, I want to keep doing volunteering in my life. So I think that's important. The space that we create while volunteering, it's super, super, super important to keep the volunteers.
That's so great. And if you may have noticed that I put added in the slides, I'm not sure if you followed on with one of the more recent statistics from 2018, and the report was published in 2021, but youth are, across the youth age group, there's quite a high rate of volunteering. So great example of how to get people engaged, and as long as it's a good experience. So thanks, Isabel. Let's go over to, we're going to go Peter, David, Juliana, and Anne. So over to you, Peter. In 30 seconds or less, what's a volunteer experience that's memorable for you?
Hello, I'm Peter. I work for Recreation and Parks Association as their active living coordinator. A memorable volunteer experience I've had, it might be a little different, but when I was in Victoria, I volunteered at a gym that was called Move Adapted, and it was basically a fitness gym dedicated to individuals with disabilities. And so all the equipment was adapted, and they had like straps for gripping and handling. And it was a very eye-opening experience to how people with different limitations can still like exercise and live a quality, like a better quality of life. But yeah, it was interesting meeting various different people there. It was in, like downtown, up this like old building that was like, really run down, but it was still really fun to do. And I did that as a part of just sort of like a volunteer thing that I had to do for one of my classes, but I really liked it and ended up doing it for quite a while after the class had ended.
That's super neat, Peter. Like, what a great way to expand your experience and to understand the need for us to, you know, serve many different populations and to be inclusive in recreation and physical activity. So thanks for sharing that one. David, over to you. In 30 seconds or less, you have a, I'm sure you have a memorable volunteer experience. And I noticed that you're muted. Oh, there we go. Now you're unmuted. I'm not sure if I can hear you, David. It shows that you're unmuted, but I can't hear anything. Can you guys hear David? Can you put your thumbs up or thumbs down, those of you who are on your screen? Okay, let's go on. Sorry, David, I can't hear you. Let's go to Juliana. Juliana, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we'll come back to David. I'm not sure why. I think his audio is not working. So, David, if you can hear me, you might need to disconnect and call back in again. So go ahead, Juliana. Would you like to introduce yourself and share a memorable experience, a volunteer experience, in about 30 seconds or less?
Yes, so Juliana here from Cambridge Bay. I don't have any memorable experience in volunteer with the sports or big events because it was not my where I was actually volunteer. But I remember since I was really young, I was always volunteering with my family at the local elders home. So we used to go just on Sundays to help them and entertain them, especially those that didn't have family that would go and visit them. So this is one of my memorable experience from volunteer.
And so you did that with your family. So that's a great example of being able to volunteer in a family group. So you're doing family things together. So thanks for sharing that. Anne, are you able to chat as well? I see that you're muted too, but I'm wondering if you wanted to introduce yourself and share a memorable volunteer experience. Okay, and I see the M. Oh, there you go. I can hear you now, yeah.
Sorry, I'm having a bit of technical trouble.
Probably the internet.
The recreation. Yeah, I'm sure that's it. but can you hear me?
Yep, I can.
Okay. My name is Ann Morgan, and I work with the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon, and I think probably one of my most memorable experiences was when I was in high school. And so I taught swimming for the Lions Club, which was working with special needs, I guess. And I did it for a long time as sort of my first introduction to teaching swimming. And I think that was really key for me. That and volunteering for Brownies, because I was a Brownie leader too back in those years. And I think that really shaped how I ended up in the recreation field. It's really powerful having those experiences. So, yeah, so thank you.
Thanks for sharing that, Anne. We'll come back to this sort of theme that both you and Isabel have brought up about, you know, giving youth opportunities to volunteer in our field. And I think it's a really important way to build capacity because we're losing a lot of our leaders. And so we need to find ways to reinvigorate and motivate people to come into our field. So those are great examples from you and from Isabel. David, I see you're unmuted. Do you want to try seeing if it works to talk?
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
Got you loud and clear.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you very much. And volunteering is so important. Yes, I volunteered as a youth for many years. I'm not going to go into that. One of the most memorable volunteer experiences I've had recently is Parks Day at Fort Selkirk. And if you're familiar with where Fort Selkirk is, just down the confluence of the Pelly River and the Yukon River, the only way to get there is by riverboat, jet boat. And my job was very simple. It was to help people on and off the boats coming in and going out, just as a safety concern. But to do so, I had to overnight at the Pelly Ranch, which is a whole experience in itself. And I did that 3 years in a row. And it gave me the opportunity to meet lots of people, but also to get to a remote location that I otherwise would not have been able to get to, and not just 1 year, but 3 years in a row. So it gave me the opportunity to experience Fort Selkirk, which is phenomenal in itself.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that. Fort Selkirk is amazing. Ann and I went in there when my children were little, and it was a great experience. So what a good way to get sort of that historical, cultural, out in the wilderness type experience. So thanks, David. Okay, well, and thanks. Isabel just noted that she has to run. So thanks for joining us. I'm sorry about the sound issues. I know lots of people have been having internet issues lately. There's lots of posts on Facebook. So anyways, well, thanks for the introductions. I like to ask about those memorable experiences because what they show us is there's a lot of reasons why people volunteer. There's a lot of reasons, or there's a lot of ways how you can volunteer. And especially when we're in the field of recreation, sport, and physical activity, there's so many different opportunities and there's so many different people who actually contribute time to that. So if you happen to have the presentation slides open, and if not, don't worry, I'll just talk through them. But slide 7 explains or describes volunteering as being fundamental to a healthy and a democratic society. And that's because volunteering builds relationships. That what they do, they contribute to strong, inclusive, and connected communities. You know, Peter's example just showed that, for example, and Stephanie's example. Statistics that we have show that Canadian volunteers make a significant contribution to society. And I've updated them for the most recent statistics and also on slide 6 and giving you a link if you want to have a look at it. These statistics were pre-COVID, but the report, because it's Stats Can, wasn't written until 2021. But you can go ahead and have a look at those as well. As I may have mentioned, I can't remember if I did or not, sorry, my brain's in all different directions today, but about 25% of volunteers in Canada actually volunteer in recreation and sport. So that's really significant for our sector. So if we can, as recreation leaders, see volunteering as mutually beneficial to the people who volunteer, to our groups and organizations, and to our communities, then we can be more successful at finding and keeping volunteers. Because volunteers are one of the most important ways in which we can increase our capacity or our ability to do recreation. So Stephanie, you've told us how you have two jobs, the wellness and recreation coordinator. So your reliance on volunteers, even though your community is small, is huge. So really, really important to have those connections for finding and keeping volunteers. And the other thing that's really interesting is volunteers bring interests and passions, so they can help us deliver a much broader variety of programs and events than we would just by ourselves. As you probably know, especially those of you with gray hair like me, over the past 50 years, the nature of volunteering has changed along with the world around us. And there's many different reasons or motivations why people volunteer. And there are also many different skills and interests that volunteers contribute. So what I'm wondering is I'd like to go around our circle, and I'd like to sort of glean your ideas or ask you to share one or two ideas about how volunteering has changed over the past while. And it could be the immediate future, the immediate past because of the pandemic, or the long-term past over the past 50 years. So the question for you, I'll just pop it in the chat for those of you who can see the chat, is how has volunteering changed over the past 50 years, and it can be any time, more recently if you want to. And if you had a chance to look at the Statistics Canada report, was there something that you learned from there that you didn't know already? So I'm not going to put Spider on the spot and start with him first this time. I'm going to put Deanne on the spot, and we're going to go Deanne, Stephanie, Peter, David, Juliana, and then come back to Spider. So my internet's not working great, but I am on my phone. So if I'm sort of popping in and out of the chat or in and out of the video, that's because I got the spinning wheel on my computer. But hopefully you guys can still hear me on the phone. So Deanne, how do you think volunteering has changed over the past 50 years or even over the last 3 years with the pandemic?
I think the volunteering has changed a lot these days. I mean, before people were more reliable on the paid job or like people those who were directly related with the job, it was more involved with but these days I'm seeing like what I have felt here when I came here, moved here. It's a whole like 50 to 60% job is more or less reliable on the volunteers, right? Before 3 years I was in Kuwait, and the volunteer thing is something give and take thing, right? If you're doing volunteer, you might get some certification or appraisal or something. So that's what like I have seen it, but here it's in Canada it's totally different, right? It's a more like what society has like you have done for the society. Society is doing the same thing for you, so that's a more or less exchange thing is happening. This is what I feel it. Yeah,
that's really interesting. So that that volunteering is a mutually beneficial thing for the volunteers and for your community, your organization, and for society. Thanks for sharing that. That's a great way to think of it, and it's nice to have your perspective as a newcomer to Canada. Thanks, Deanne. Over to you, Stephanie. In your opinion, how has volunteering changed over the past 50 years, or how has it changed post-pandemic, like since before the pandemic?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. What I've noticed that has changed in volunteering in the last 50 years is, I would say, even like 30 years ago, a lot of volunteers were... it's kind of like a free-for-all, where it's a criminal record check. Anyone could show up and just volunteer, and nobody would really know who that one person was in the group. But nowadays, it's like very regulated in the rules on any kind of volunteer work. It's like everybody wants to know who that person is, who is volunteering. They want a background check to make sure that, you know, anyone who is part of the vulnerable sector are protected. So there's a lot more barriers and red tape nowadays. However, it's for the safety of anyone who is participating in the group. So I would say compared to 50 years ago, there's a lot more restrictions, which is totally awesome, but that was what I noticed in time.
That's great. That's a really good observation that, you know, that there we've imposed sort of more stringent rules and checks and things like that, so it might make it more difficult to be actually volunteer, but it's for the safety of the people that we're volunteering for, especially children and elders. So thanks for that, Stephanie. That's a really great insight. Peter, over to you. You know, maybe you don't remember 50 years ago. I know you don't, but how do you think volunteering's changed?
Can you hear me? Sorry. On the computer.
I can hear you. Yeah, you're just frozen on my picture, but I can hear you.
Okay. Well, I do remember the Sport UConn members meeting that they had in November. They talked about how volunteer rates, as volunteer UConn, I think, or volunteer Benito UConn, talking about how the rates of volunteering had dropped by like 80% or something, like some staggering statistics. And that really, and then we're kind of even speculating like why that was the case. And some people thought that maybe during the pandemic, people ended up filling their time with other things. And when everything opened up again and they needed volunteers again, people just had a full schedule. And plus it's, I don't know, a lot of people, economically, it's getting a little tighter and tighter and people maybe feel less inclined to volunteer more than they used to. I was just sort of, going over that Staff Canada thing around volunteering. And I was kind of surprised to see that younger generations have increased in have higher rates of volunteering. I don't know why that surprises me, but yeah, I think that's good, though. It's a good thing.
Yeah, and some of the reasons why the younger generations have higher rates, they don't have higher hours, but there's more young people who volunteer, and often it's to do with internships or, you know, in high school you have to do it. Like it's because they surveyed people age 15 and older. So it could be the high school requirement to have volunteer hours before you graduate, things like that. So they found among that generation, I think it was age 15 to 25 or so, that there were more youth who volunteered, but the actual higher contribution of hours comes from older generations. So in older generations, less people volunteer, but the hours they put in are much more. So, and keep in mind that report, yeah, those statistics were collected in 2018, and StatsCan takes several years to produce reports, so the report was released in 2021. The last numbers that I saw, I used to have them in a slide, and it was from 2013, and they had 44% of Canadians volunteered, and now it's 41%. So it'll be really interesting, as you mentioned, Peter, to see if they redo this study again, but we won't know what the results are for 3 or 4 years. So thanks for, good point. Thanks for raising those. Let's go over to David. David, from your perspective, how has volunteering changed over the past short time or long time?
Well, the big picture, years ago, and I think it was Stephanie that mentioned this, but I can't remember, that you didn't need the RCMP check, you didn't need all the references, you could walk in, say, hey, you need help serving tea or coffee or digging a hole. It didn't matter. People were much more open. You know, now, here again, we live in what I see as a fairly closed society, and volunteerism is much more task specific. And, you know, being interested in the volunteer, showing them ownership or giving them ownership is still important. We've now migrated to what tasks, what skills, what are you actually going to want to do and bring to the organization that we can utilize, not simply come and join us.
Great. So maybe the come and join us was more recreational, like just come out and have a good time and we'll all pitch in, like the, you know, the neighborhood hockey game or something like that, and now it's much more specific, slotting people into what they specifically want to do or are interested in doing. Thanks for that, David. Juliana, do you have any observations from how you see volunteering has changed over the years?
I think I could mention the, especially due to the pandemic, even one of the slides, one mentioned that the people, they may prefer to volunteer virtually. That shows also that we can bring back the importance of not just the hours spent at an event and activity, but a part of the planning and design of the of programs and our activities also important. So I think we can have more people engaged in those processes also.
Thank you. Thanks, Juliana. And Anne, I know you're jumping in and out. Are you able to unmute? And, you know, you talked about volunteering and swimming and brownies. From your perspective, how has volunteering changed over the years? And I'm not sure if Anne's able to unmute or not. Oh, there we go.
Sorry, I forgot last time. Sorry. I was just going to say, I think if I look back on my earlier notes, we didn't have like internet or TV or any of those kinds of things. So I think people were really into the volunteer at the, you know, to run curling or hockey or do work to get people out and engaged in community. And I think I've seen a huge shift when I look a number of years to the advent of like TV and satellite dishes and internet, because people don't come out and volunteer like they used to. And you can see that in our community recreation where we've got curling rinks that sit empty, that aren't being used for curling anymore. So just interesting as things have shifted with technology, I think.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, and it links into what David said. David alluded to the fact that maybe volunteering itself was a recreation activity in the past, whereas now it's a bit more work or task driven, and so maybe people have replaced some of that recreational fun part of volunteering with internet and things like that. So thanks for sharing that, Anne. And not to leave you out of our circle, Spider, but how about your thoughts? You know, I know that you've been involved in this sector for a long time too. So what changes have you seen or observed? Are there any that anybody else hasn't mentioned?
I think we're looking now at more targeted initiatives to assimilate folks, and they do it by volunteering. So you look at the money and time and effort the Canadian government is putting into welcoming and supporting new Canadians. And part of that is encouraging them to consider volunteering and learning about and contributing to the Canadian mosaic from that angle.
Yeah, that's an interesting way to make people feel more part of community. So really targeting the people that we want to bring into the community and give them a sense of belonging. So thanks for that. Those are really interesting insights. And you guys are from different backgrounds and different generations. So I find it quite interesting to hear your perspective. The other thing that I often think about, and I think in the past people needed to volunteer and help each other even in order to survive, right? We didn't have ready access to, like Anne mentioned, things online, or maybe it was more difficult to access services and things like that. So really in the past, volunteering ensured our survival. And going way back, volunteers used to be sort of instrumental in getting community clubs and community associations, and even buildings and things like playgrounds were a big driver, and parks and things like that. I think, as some of you have alluded to, today volunteering is more focused, and there's also a sort of what's in it for me or what can we do for you type mentality, or what do people want to get out of it. So it's not necessarily what do I get paid, but it's like what value do I get from the volunteer experience. So as Gian mentioned, maybe it's more of a mutually beneficial rather than perhaps before people saw it as a giving back to society, but whereas now it's a give and take and a bit more balance. One of the things I want you to consider, and I'm going to challenge you to think your way around thinking of to volunteers, is I want you to consider this, and it's I've done this learning event a couple of times now, and it always sort of shifts our thinking a little bit. But I want you to think about in your programs and services that we actually need to program in to what we're programming volunteer experiences that help people develop new skills, make new friends, or feel a sense of belonging. And so we want to, you know, maybe not have the monetary or the direct, you know, what do I get out of it? But there's things that recreation does for people, that mental health, like that was really evident over the pandemic. So things like, you know, connecting to people and feeling connected and things like that. And I think when we actually think of creating our our parks and recreation programs, we can actually, if we come at it with a mentality of our volunteers being participants in those programs, we might be able to adjust how we deliver the program so we build that right in to the program so our volunteers can work alongside other people, gain a sense of belonging to a group, and make new skills. So if you happen to have slides 12 to 14 open, they share a few benefits of volunteering. So they point out, for example, that as you guys might know, volunteering strengthens relationships. It builds social capital, as Deanne pointed out. It contributes economically to our society. It builds people's confidence and competence, two words we often use with physical literacy, but they're good words as well. And slide 14, I actually found this, is volunteering is the best kept secret. And it was a whole article around how volunteering is good for your mental health. And I think that that's a really neat link for us in recreation. We need volunteers, but we often don't talk about how volunteering is good for mental health. So it provides people with a sense of purpose, and it helps make people happy. It decreases the risk of depression and things like that. So I wonder if you can share any other benefits with you or with us as a group about having volunteers engaged in recreation in your community. So let's just do a quick round, not a long one, but just point out one thing that you've noticed. When you have volunteers involved in sport and recreation for you, what is one of the benefits? Perhaps something I haven't already mentioned. So we started with Gian last time. So Stephanie, I'm going to put you on the spot first, and I'll pop the question in the chat. And what I'd like to ask you is, what is one benefit of having volunteers engaged in recreation in your community?
I would say the volunteers in my community are excellent role models for the younger generation. I mean, I'm speaking more personally with my kids. I mean, my daughter tells me, oh, I want to be a firefighter like you, Mom. I want to be a recreation coordinator like you, kind of thing. So volunteering, like not only that, but I do some help with the senior society also. And just to see the, like, I like recreation because I work with the youth. I'm working with the seniors because I get to know the seniors in our community. And then also with the fire department, there are more physically active people about my age. And then I have my kids who take a look at me, and they see what I do in my volunteer work, my spare time. And I think it's just the volunteers that we have, including myself, are good role models for the younger people or anyone who is interested in doing any kind of volunteer work. I always encourage and try to recruit. And so, and I'm teaching my kids that. So that's what I think is totally awesome about volunteering.
That's great. Thanks, Stephanie. And we do need lots of good role models in our communities. So that's awesome. Thank you for pointing that out. Peter, what's another benefit that you see with having volunteers engaged in recreation in our community?
I always find volunteers to be just more fun. The organizers are stressed out and like have to do all the work, and the volunteers does the work, but they're always just kind of having a bit more of a good time, and maybe there's less liability on their behalf, but they make it more enjoyable for everyone.
And that is like one of the most important things about recreation, to have fun, right? So let's have lots of volunteers and have lots of fun. That's a great thing, Peter. I like that. That made me smile today. Thank you. David, how about yourself? What's the benefit? And I know ERA uses, Elder Active Recreation Association uses a lot of volunteers. So what's the benefit to either your organization or your community?
Well, it gives us the opportunity to have people on hand that otherwise we couldn't afford for obvious fundraising and stuff like that. But realistically, it enables us to connect directly to our members, our other participants. It enables us to get direct feedback. The volunteers are happy to volunteer, but they also want to be able to give back to the organization what they hear on the ground. And we don't always hear it. They do. And having that feedback directly into the organization is most beneficial.
That's a really, I haven't heard anyone share that before, but that is so true. Because your participants might be more willing to voice concerns or what they're happy with their volunteers, and then they can feed that up the line so that you can do something about it. So great, good idea. Thank you for sharing that, David. Juliana, how about yourself? What's a benefit of having volunteers engaged in recreation in your community?
Actually, it's more practical. Side of the thing, because I believe that in the other community it happens, like it doesn't in Cambridge Brain sometimes people are like, oh, why are we not having this and that, and then sometimes we open the concert like, okay, just come and volunteer for this. When they come and volunteer, they're getting involved, they realize, oh, okay, it's not just showing up the day. If you want to have like a 1 week festival, there's a little bit more of planning that we need to do, especially here in a remote location where we need to get some stuff more. So it adds up to, okay, yeah, let's maybe get involved earlier next time to try to make this happen. So it's like this.
That's perspective. Yeah. That's great. And that's an important thing for community members to realize, because in small communities, sometimes people can point their finger. If you've got a really capable recreation director or coordinator or department, people can just sort of let them do all the work, but they also need to understand how much work is involved. So thank you for sharing that.
Well, actually, something that I find out is that they are always nostalgic about times when lots of things used to happen in the community, but then they realize, oh, it's because everybody was set up. Like, everybody was involved. It was not just recreation. The school was involved, the different organizations. So it's good to bring this back, the sense of community to everybody.
That's great. Yeah, and that's so important. So thank you. Anne, how about yourself? What's one? And I know you've worked with a lot of volunteers in a lot of communities. What's the benefit of having volunteers engaged in recreation, and maybe one that somebody hasn't already mentioned?
I know somebody probably already spoke, but one of my most memorable things, I think, has been learning, right? Because volunteers are often engaged in things they're passionate about, and I think of the curlers, right? Because they're super passionate about pedaling the ice, and I think of Dave Callis and Watson Lake and all of the years he spent volunteering at the curling rink and putting the ice, sharing that knowledge and passing it on, right? So that the next generation has that skill set and the knowledge. So I think that's really valuable.
Yeah, it's sort of like inherent community wisdom about sport and recreation and how that works, and sharing it through a volunteering community learning approach. That's really worthwhile mentioning. Thank you, Anne. Spider, how about yourself? Is there a benefit that you've observed that maybe hasn't already been mentioned of having volunteers engaged in sport and recreation in your community?
I think there's the, you know, when volunteers are seen volunteering, then they act as role models for others to step up and consider and become volunteers. So it hopefully can become self-perpetuating and all the benefits become multiplied. And it's only because we see, acknowledge, show that, you know, these folks are volunteering and how much they're enjoying it, how much they're getting out of it, and in turn those numbers in theory go up and everybody wins and our volunteer numbers increase.
Yeah, and that ties into, like, Juliana at the beginning talking about volunteering as a family. You know, that sort of transmits those values and that activity. And Stephanie talking about volunteering in many different capacities and being a role model for her kids. So, yeah, hopefully by having those volunteers, we'll continue to build that. It has been challenging, but it's definitely a benefit of sort of getting people inspired and passionate. So thank you. Deanne, over to you. I know you... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
It is building. I see it more as weaving a tapestry.
That's a nice way of doing it, saying it, and that actually leads into my next little part of the conversation. So remember that word, weaving. So thanks, Spider. Deanne, is there anything that anyone else hasn't, anything else that comes to mind that hasn't been mentioned about the benefits of having volunteers engaged in sport and rec in your community?
One of the benefits I see as a volunteer is learning the activity, right? So become if you want to learn something, become a volunteer, and you can get connected with the people, you know, and you can learn the activity. And another benefit, as Spider mentioned earlier, doing volunteer work, you can watch some real cool matches, like the top-notch matches, you know, like world-level matches. You can watch it as a volunteer. And one more thing is, like, you make friends, you make connections. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So that, again, building on what Anne talked about learning, but taking it one step further, and you're actually learning what you're volunteering, right? So you volunteer for a sport or an activity, or you volunteer to help out with quilting. Like, that's something I don't know how to do, but maybe I could volunteer with a group and learn how to do, or something like that. So thank you so much for sharing that. So as you can see, there's lots of different benefits around having volunteers engaged in our community. And Spider mentioned weaving. So next week is National Volunteer Week. They've been holding National Volunteer Week for a while. And the theme for next week is actually volunteering weaves us together. So that's why I wanted to bring up the weaving, Spider. And so I'd like to wrap up our call today just by asking you to reflect on what this theme actually means to you. And you don't have to say very much. Just, you know, what is the theme volunteering weaves us together mean to you? And I'll pop that in the chat so you can read it. And we will start with Peter this time. Not to put you on the spot there, Peter, but let me pop in here. So next week is National Volunteer Week. The theme is volunteering weaves us together. Does that mean anything to you if you reflect on that, Peter?
Well, I definitely think that, like, our society has kind of been trending towards, like value and, like, exchange of resources for, like, personal gain. And I like that the idea of volunteering is just, like, the complete opposite of that, and just being, like, we're doing this because, like, we care about something. We care about people, and we're not necessarily getting anything from it. But you're getting, like, the satisfaction of, like, working with people, but, you know, getting, like, a monetary value or something, or something specific. I don't know. I think that's kind of what it means to me, is, like, it makes us realize that stuff isn't as important as sort of community.
Yeah, and I think that's in today's world, I think that's a really important sort of value to try and convey, right? There's a lot of not great stuff going on in the world today, and so to be able to sort of have people transcend the fact that there should be something in it for them, or it's all about them, but it's not. It's about us as a society. So thanks for sharing that, Peter. Now David's popped off the call. So Juliana, did you want to reflect on that? Is there anything that the theme volunteering weaves us together? Does that stand out for you, or does something come to mind when you hear that theme?
Yes, maybe so. I think when we are volunteering, it's a different kind of atmosphere as when we are at work, and I think maybe we get the opportunity to show a little bit more who we are, like, freely, maybe for some people. So then I think it's when we pop up different talents or values or different things. So it's a good opportunity to see all that coming together.
Yeah, so I guess also with weaving, I think of many different colored threads. So maybe that's, you know, what you're saying is people have different qualities, characteristics, skills, and we're pulling those together in some sort of tapestry or something that's a lot stronger together than the individual threads on their own. So thank you for that, Juliana. And over to you. Is there something that you can reflect on, or when you hear the theme, volunteering weaves us together, what does that mean to you?
You know, it made me think of next week is our organization's 30th anniversary, and I think of all of the friendships and relationships that have been built over 30 years in our sector specifically. So leaders past, present, and hopefully future have really in their lives together over time. Like, it's really, I don't know, it's really powerful. It's a really neat concept.
That's so great. I never even clued in that our 30th anniversary celebration is during volunteering week. So it might be something we can point out at that celebration. Peter, maybe you'll help Anne and I remember that comment. So, and definitely, especially through, you know, through those long-term activities and the volunteers that you've had on your board, Anne, for such a long time. So thank you for pointing that out. Spider, over to you. And I know Sport North is coming up with their 50th anniversary in 2026. So, but anyways, back to the question. And you brought up the word weaving. So when you hear the theme volunteering weaves us together, does that mean something to you specifically?
Yeah, still touching on that, I think about the, you know, contributes to the Canadian mosaic. That you know, especially around the richness imbued by newcomers. When I think of and I'm just beginning to learn about Guillen and his work and his background, but I was quite excited to learn that UConn Squash was bringing in a squash coach from a country internationally known for strength and skill in the sport of squash, and I thought, I look forward to meeting this guy who strong player, and can bring us that flavor that, you know, we don't typically see about, you know, how is squash, how do people learn about and excel in squash from a country that, has been doing this for longer than Canada has and at such a high level. I could go on about it, but he's on the call.
So are you meeting with Gian in Whitehorse tomorrow, right?
Yes.
Are you going to have time to stop in the RK office and meet Anne and Peter?
Well, actually, I'm coming in late and leaving early, but I am coming back through Sunday night and not leaving till Monday afternoon, so we may be able to arrange a visit if...
Yeah, and RK is pretty close to where the squash is, too, so... Awesome. Okay, thanks for that, Spider. Jan, over to you. What does the theme volunteering weaves us together mean to you?
Okay, everybody spoke about this. It's a weaving is like something connecting the different energies for coming up, people with the different energy, coming with the different way of doing the thing and with the different purposes. So bringing all together, so volunteering can be one of the factors to bring it everyone together. And there is always the exchange of exchange of energy, you call it, or like the your satisfaction, mental satisfaction, or physical satisfaction, or whatever, right? So there is always, you know, instead of exchanging the money, like you give us our hour and we pay you back. But in this case, like being volunteer, like I will work for you, you work for me, or like I'll get more satisfied and all this. So, yeah, like bringing all the energies together and bringing all the work together. Yeah.
Yeah, so in a way, sort of like the sum of each, what's the saying, the sum of each part is greater, or the sum of all the parts together is greater than each one of those things individually. I think that's the saying. Peter will pop it in the chat if he remembers what the saying is. Thanks, Kian. And Stephanie, over to you at the end of our circle on this last bit of our call. What does that theme, volunteering weaves us together, mean to you?
Well, I think everybody has pretty much touched on what I think, but I'd say weaving would be all the volunteers who volunteer in any kind of event or activity. We meant to touch each other's lives in such a way. I think it really helps with depression, anxiety. When you're able to be surrounded by just someone in a group setting, or just one or two people, or a huge group, some way, somehow, you feel connected to the others. So when you go home, I mean, for myself, like I have this sense of like well-being. I really enjoyed the meeting. I have good memories. I connected with other people. It just gives me a really great feeling. And so that's something that I like to emphasize with my kids, is like to have that sense of belonging. And my daughter, she really likes to, well, I force her to volunteer sometimes. So, but she really enjoys it. She always gets something out of it. So.
Well, thank you. And I think just to build on what you've all said, if you take a look at the National Volunteer website, it does talk about how this theme was designed to illustrate the critical role of volunteering in our communities and in our society. And as you guys have mentioned, through volunteering, people find meaning in their lives. Like, it's a meaning that we might have lost during the pandemic when we were isolated. It's a meaning that we lost through, as Anne mentioned, social media and internet. So volunteering develops those relationships, the friendships, and it also builds trust, I think. It builds, as Stephanie just mentioned, a sense of connection, and it creates teamwork, which I think is the theme of weaving. And that teamwork and that connection builds resilience in our communities and the ability to grow, thrive, and create positive change. And so really, volunteering, it can be very impactful. And as we move into next week, again, think about what my comment was. I just challenge you to think about this. How could you make volunteering part of your programming, your everyday programming, so that it's built into what you do? It's not just a delivery for participants, but it's participants and volunteers, and you're meeting all of those needs in one. So just something to think about. Might be a different way of thinking, but we'll talk about it some more next week. So that brings us to 1 minute after the hour. Good thing we started fairly on time. There is a required learning activity due on Sunday, and what it asks you to do is to chat with a couple of your community volunteers. If you don't have time or you can't find a community person, just interview a neighbor, a friend, a partner, like a parent, really doesn't matter, just somebody who's had some volunteer experiences. And if you can, please try and complete that required learning activity before next week's conference call. It doesn't have to be long or anything like that. So if you're spending way too much time, then it's probably too much. So just if you can complete it, that would be great, because next week we're going to move on to exploring some of the strategies that we can use in recreation and sport to actually engage volunteers in what it is that we do. So thanks so much for joining today. Merci. Guanashish, Musi Cho. Spider, I'm looking forward to a 7 a.m. flight with you on Friday morning, and have a great visit with Deanne tomorrow. And Anne, I'll see you for lunch shortly. So thanks, everyone. I'm going to stop the conference call recording. If you have any questions, just stay on after I stop the recording.